CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. CityTalk 105.9.
Hello and welcome to a very special CityTalk Business with me, Frank McKenna. I'm the chairman of the independent private sector lobby group and business networking club Downtown Liverpool in business. And every Sunday we look at some of the week's big business stories and talk to some key personalities, decision makers and entrepreneurs who work in and influence Liverpool and the wider Northwest region. This week I'm joined in the studio by the leader of Liverpool City Council, Joe Anderson, and the chief executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. We'll be talking regeneration, the Michael Heseltine, Sir Terry Leahy report, conferences, elected mayors and, if we have time, a bit of football as well. Gentlemen, a very good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning, Frank. Morning.
Can I first of all turn my attention to this report that was produced last week by Lord Heseltine and Terry Leahy? We've had a number of comments over the last few weeks from the private sector and their reaction, which seems to be generally positive. But from a politician's perspective, Joe, do you think the report was something that we should aspire to? Are there things in there that we can actually deliver? Or actually, given your current challenges as far as your budget is concerned, is a lot of the stuff that's contained within that nice but difficult to ever deliver?
Well, the bottom line about this report is that, as Michael Heseltine said on many occasions when he was promoting the report, was that this was about people's aspirations, not just Liverpool City Council's, but many other people as well in the city region, about their aspirations and their vision, if you like, for the city region and not just Liverpool. And that's fine. That's spot on. You know, it was people making a contribution to that. And I think from our point of view as a city, we see it as really welcome. It's a positive report. I described it as being a document from critical friends, if you like. Both of them were approached it, I think, in that way. And I think many other cities and many other areas would be delighted to have a report from such an influential person as Michael Heseltine and Sir Terry Leahy. So we're delighted with the report. I think the comments within it are clearly things that we would like to achieve. And I think, from my point of view, they really are aspirational in terms of they are big issues. For instance, like using the Mersey Barrage and developing the Mersey, which is really, in my view, something I think that I talked to him about on several occasions when we spoke, because it is a fantastic opportunity to exploit the river, because the strength of the river is a really powerful thing for us to exploit and use. And then, you know, he talked about how we clean up the river and use it more for tourism as well, but using it as a way of creating energy, but using the water and cleaning the water as we, you know, the next 30, 40 years, water will be a scarce resource. And so really good quality, powerful comments and stuff within it. He talked about an expo opportunity, World Expo opportunity on the River Mersey. And again, it's something that we would love to consider. But all of these things, Frank, can never be achieved in isolation. They have to be achieved in partnership with government, because you're absolutely right to say it's difficult times. But that said, you know, from my point of view, I've always argued that we are a council with huge opportunities, a city with huge opportunities and big ambitions, and we should have big ambitions. And I think this document, if you like, conjures up exactly what we're saying and what we've been talking about and how we hope the city can move forward. So, as I said, I accept the report in a positive light. We've responded to it in a positive way, and I'm hoping to work with government to deliver some of the things that are within that document to bring them to fruition.
I'll ask Max in a second about the expo opportunity, but if there was a negative to emerge from the report, it was probably around an issue that's an old chestnut, really, which is this lack of coordination across the city region. I won't even mention the M word because it's been banned from this studio. There does appear to be, rightly or wrongly, still this difficulty of some people accepting that Liverpool is the attack brand, it is going to be the driver of economic recovery, and there tends to be, rightly or wrongly, a perception out there that we still have some parochialism around some of the boroughs that exist. Now, In terms of where we're up to with the local economic partnership, in terms of where we're up to with the likes of the Mersey partnership, is there a likely to emerge any more clarity as the year comes to an end? Or are we going to continue with this range of organisations, agencies, councils involved in what tends to be rather slow processes and decision-making processes?
Mm. Well, I think you sum it up really well in the sense that, and I think, you know, Leahy and Heseltine on many occasions articulated the view that the city region needed somebody to speak with one voice on behalf of the city region, a powerful voice that could take issues to government and argue for the city region, speaking on behalf of 1.4 million people. And you know, and I think I've discussed it on this programme before, and I've certainly written a paper about it, is that my view was always that the city region, rather than being parochial and looking inward on itself as maybe a city would do, it would be working in cooperation and looking at strategic issues that faced us all. And so therefore, it's disappointing for me to hear some of the leaders in the districts completely rule out moving forward on that particular issue with the view that it's about trying to protect what they do and their own powers. And it's never been that about that for me. It's always been about, you know, look, this isn't about taking any powers away from Wirral or Sefton or St Helens or Knowsley. It's about taking powers away from central government. Mm. It's about actually getting not only powers to do things differently, but resources in order to manage and shape our own destiny with those resources. And the bottom line is the government is still going ahead with the localism bill, and part of the localism bill is talking about the mayors for the core cities. Mm. Now, you know, look, if the authorities here, the local authorities that make up the city region, aren't keen and aren't interested in the concept of a city region mayor, and government talk to us in Liverpool about powers being devolved down to the city, that make a difference. For instance, you know, if we were given powers that make a difference in how we run education and what we spend in education, or for instance, working with the DWP, the Department for Work and Pensions, on how we get people back into work and devolve those powers to us, or any other powers that they would wish to say, well, okay, we'll devolve that to you, including funding how we do things, then the City of Liverpool would absolutely be foolish to turn that away. And what I've always said, as it stands now, at this moment in time, I have powers that most other local authorities have, and therefore a little badge on my lapel saying City Mayor makes no difference to me. But if we get powers, and if we get serious powers and serious opportunities and funding and money to make a difference, then we should consider that. So that's where we are. They're out to consultation now, government, talking to not just Liverpool, but the 12 cities that are they hope to devolve powers to and create these city mayors. And what I'm saying is I'm listening, but we have to have a serious dialogue about shifting. And that's what Leahy and Heseltine's report was about. It's about taking powers away from central government and about taking resources and support to London and giving it back to the regions. And that's my argument and that's my view, and that's why I fully support their views. I'd much rather have somebody speaking up and standing there and arguing for Liverpool and being recognised and being noticed for that than you know, somebody that's not recognised or noticed or understood. But it has to be accompanied by real, genuine powers, meaningful powers, powers followed with resources as well and the opportunities to do things different.
So let me just get this absolutely clear, Joe. If the government proposal for an elected mayor for either the city or the city region says with that particular job comes additional powers, additional responsibilities over things like economic development, transport, maybe even the police. That is something that Joe Anderson would say, I can see the sense in that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'm part, absolutely, I would, but I'm part of a group, a democratic group of people, and I would discuss that with those, because if there was such a situation and, you know, there was a referendum and that referendum was successful, in terms of that, there would then be an election. I would have to seek nomination to be that from my party and win the support of the party. And of course, in order to do that, you need to win the case and the argument about whether it's worthwhile doing. And I think that comes first. It's, you know, cart and horse. But to me, Yes, if there is genuine, genuine attempt by government to devolve resources and powers, then we'd be absolutely foolish. Because I'm here not as Joe Anderson, leader of the Labour Party. I'm here as Joe Anderson, leader of Liverpool City Council. It's about what's in the best interest of Liverpool City Council and its people.
And I think we can all agree that one of the success stories over the past 12 months, and longer than that, I'm sure you'd agree, has been the work that's been undertaken by Liverpool Vision. I'm delighted that that Max is with us today, the chief executive of he's carrying the bag carrier. But just running through some of the things that have happened this year. Shanghai Expo, which was a terrific success. The Embassy Initiative in London. We'll look forward a little bit later on to the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. But Max, Joe mentioned in his remarks there about the potential for a UK expo. Is that something Vision would be up for?
Well, what Joe said, and by the way, it's interesting what's in Joe's bag, but we can talk about that off air, Frank, perhaps. what Joe said three or four times in his remarks to you before was we used the word ambition. And my mind went back to when I worked for Michael Astine in 1981. And this was a city that in that period seemed to me to have little or no ambition. Where we are now, and some of the things you've outlined, the successful expo, the embassy in London, the winning of the GEC, the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, which we might talk about, as you say, later on today, that shows an ambitious city. And to be quite serious, you know, I work alongside you. I work for Joe. We're an agency of Liverpool City Council. There's a huge ambition in this city. What the Hessle Time report says to me is that 30 years on, when Michael first looked at Liverpool or looked at the city region, his ambition remains undimmed for this part of the country. Now, part of that is a proposal about an expo or a World Trade Fair that we might bring here. I've said before, I think I've said it on this programme, when Joe and I were in Shanghai, I think both of us were bowled over by how effectively the Liverpool brand sells, how strong it is. That strength's been confirmed since we came back with the amount of Chinese delegations, the amount of Chinese investment coming into the city. And Joe has given us the authority on his behalf to develop an international strategy for the city, which is, I think, proving that India, Brazil, East Coast America is hugely interested in investing in this city. So why not a possible World Trade Fair or Expo for the city? And in my initial discussions with Joe, we're going to have a look at it. Why shouldn't this city have the ambition to host something like that on behalf of the UK in Liverpool? It would be, potentially, a massive opportunity for the city and bring many people to this city to see what's going on here. And it's part of, you know, next year we've got the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. Next year in April, we've got the biggest street event in Western Europe, which is the Sea Odyssey. We're expecting 1 million people in the city. At a time when I know quite seriously that Joe is facing some very difficult financial questions, and clearly, you know, we envision we'll face some of those as well, we should not stop being ambitious. And that's, you know, what I'm hearing from Joe is let's still be ambitious as a city. Let's look at all the opportunities, and the expo is one of those.
I mean, I think it's a really exciting time for Liverpool, despite the challenges that the City Council clearly faces. Just before we go to a short break, Joe, do you sense that there is still a confidence in and around both the public and the private sectors that we can take advantage of some of our asset base here?
Oh, absolutely so, yes. I mean, that's part of the strategy, is to let businesses and investors know that this is, you know, a different culture here now. It's one that wants to work with businesses and wants to make business happen in the city. And that's, you know, why we are, you know, going global in terms of looking for inward investments and bringing people to the this city. As Max said, when we were in Shanghai, it was a phenomenal response that we had there, where people were, you know, not just impressed by what we had to say and what we were showcasing and what we were showing them, but absolutely gobsmacked by our enthusiasm and our motivation. And, you know, Max was with me this morning. You know, we've talked about what we're going to do next week, meeting people, different people. And our diary is full next week, talking to people. And you know, it was last week. And as I said, even though it's you know, very early on Sunday morning, we're still talking about what we've got to do and how we go about doing it. So I'm hugely excited about the opportunities for the city. And if you look at the things that we said on Friday, you know, just under £500 million worth of public and private sector investments. The new, as I said, exhibition centre, the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. You know, we've just got £27 million for the urban, for the buffer zone. We can go on and on. Edge Lane development, Stonebridge Cross, and the asset-backed vehicle. Massive opportunities for this city, and we'll get through the difficult times. And I'm confident that we're going to come out of it much stronger.
And we'll continue that conversation right after this short break.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in the studio today by the leader of Liverpool City Council, Joe Anderson, and the chief executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg. We're going to look at regeneration in this part of the programme. And Max, I know that we've been successful with a regional growth fund bid that's specifically looking at Stanley Dock, a part of the city that is in much need of regeneration and repair, isn't it? So what does that particular pot of cash deliver? What do we get for our buck?
Well, Vision led a partnership at Joe's request, looking at the north end of the city. It involved the City Council, who were very much behind it, the Eldonian Group and Stanley Dock Properties. And we've won about £27 million of money. It's going to create 1,800 new jobs from about 2012 onwards. It's going to safeguard about 2,500 jobs in the area. It's going to unlock about £130 million of investment needed for these schemes. For the Eldonians, it means we can build a combined heat and power plant, which will provide electricity and hot water to the local area. That's a hugely green product, and the plans for that are very advanced. Again, City Council very supportive of that. For Stanley Dock, it's a mixed-use residential scheme, and it's great news for the area. That's been something on the landscape, Frank, for a long time, that people have been saying something needs to be done about. Now we can. It's a major boost for the area, for the green power agenda. And what I think it provides is a bridge between the transformed city centre, the investment opportunities that the enterprise zone brings, and this buffer strip, as Joe referred to it, where I think people have been wondering what's going to happen there. Well, here's some very good news. Now, on top of that, we also supported a bid for Red X Pharma in the city. They're based at Mersey Bow in Toxteth, and their successful £5.9 million bid will mean that their work in terms of cutting-edge, state-of-the-art research into cancer and cancer drugs will be taking place in this city. So that's another success for the city as well, and part of the growing reputation of this city as a knowledge economy science city, which actually I think we don't talk enough about.
Yeah, I think that knowledge economy is something that we all desperately want to see grow, and I think, you know, that's just one initiative that potentially will enable us to do that. But if we just focus for a second on Stanley Dock and the north of the city, again, if you listen to some of the criticisms that have been made around the last decade's regeneration of Liverpool, it is that there are still pockets of the place that are in urgent need of attention. Is this scheme finally going to deliver for the people of North Liverpool what they so desperately have been seeking for many, many years now?
We have to invest the money which has just been granted to Liverpool by the end of March 2014. I'm sitting in the room with you, 150 feet above the ground, with my legs shaking because I've got vertigo. I'm sitting next to the leader of the council. If you think I'm not going to tell you on air that we're not going to deliver this, we are going to deliver it. The emphasis on North Liverpool as an area which needs that investment, you know, it would be an absolute crime if we allow that investment not to happen. So it will happen. We've got partners from various developers actually talking to us about making that investment work as well. We've been in those meetings now for 6 months, so we've actually been anticipating that the award would come through. I asked Joe 6 months ago, could we have his support for this? We've had his support, so we're almost ready to go. And with this regional growth fund money, which actually does have this short shelf life, needs to be used very quickly, I can tell you now the plans are in place and you'll start seeing activity on site next year. I'm prepared to say that on the air, be quite clear about it. We have to start saying to the people of North Liverpool, this is a real opportunity to make a difference to these communities. So, yes, it will happen.
Okay, Frank, just picking up on that, two points. One is, I think Max and the team have done a fantastic job in putting forward the bid. And, you know, the success of that means a huge boost for us in terms of delivering on our objectives to actually, you know, create opportunities in North Liverpool. But it isn't just that particular aspect of it. You know, Anfield has got major problems there. People know that it's been stagnating for some time in terms of because of the football club's issue and stuff and what have you. We're moving ahead with that. We've got another bid into government regarding that. We're in the housing announcement that we made on Friday, which talks about that investment, we're also investing money in Anfield again to bring back some of the properties in phases 6 and 7. So it was a culmination of projects and schemes and ways in which we're tackling it, and this is just one of them. But absolutely a significant boost for us in terms of the, you know, the Warbeck side of North Liverpool. Working with the Eldonians, who are just a fantastic, you know, business, a social enterprise that sets standards for everybody.
Big society, really, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know, I think what I'd like to do is get David Cameron to come up and work with Tony McGann for a couple of weeks and Lawrence Santangeli. He'd certainly have a better view of how to operate the big society. But seriously, it's a huge boost for us. Well done to everybody in Vision and the team that worked with them, including the Eldonians and you know, Liverpool City Council's team, because we're all one. A fantastic win for us, and as I said, but it is just one spoke, if you like, in terms of how we developed the North Liverpool issue.
And this asset-backed vehicle that you mentioned in the first part of the programme, as I understand it, that will enable us to start to regenerate other parts of the city, places like Croxteth, for example.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, we're doing some work in Norwich Green around that particular part of Liverpool. But what we're actually doing with the asset-backed vehicle, we have about 98 acres of land, which is all... probably just short of 100% of it is owned by Liverpool City Council. And we've got what we call an asset-backed vehicle. That's some private sector involved, some other partners, RSLs. And we intend to use the land values of that to put into the partnership, and we'll control over 50% of it as a council. And the idea is to build 500 new houses there, homes for rent and homes for sale, new businesses, locate a school, a health centre, all those facilities and leisure and job opportunities there. And the money that we make through that deal will then ring-fenced, and it goes into, it's like a revolving door, it'll go into other parts of the city. But when we're talking about regeneration, you know, and I think people have to look at what the City Council's doing and leading on here, is if you look at, as I said, the announcement that we made on Friday at Cabinet, if you look at that and you look at the total spend, we're just short of half a billion pounds worth of investments. And no longer are we just seeing this as, you know, from a leader's point of view, from my point of view, we're not just seeing that as a social requirement, houses or schools. We're seeing it as part of regeneration because we'll link it to local supply, we'll link it to people who want to take on apprenticeships and get people back into work. And that's where we are different from the past. And, you know, I can tell you that governments are sitting up and taking notice of what we're doing because we're leading the way. There's no other city in this country that are actually, you know, being entrepreneurial and getting out there and making a difference and showing confidence. And that's the point, what we made before about Shanghai and about the embassy, and everything that we do is about showing the private sector that we're with you, we're engaged in it with you, and we know how to lead, and we will lead, we'll continue to lead. That's why, as I said, the exhibition centre was hugely important. But this is about jobs. We're talking, you know, round about 4,500 jobs here being created. And that's on top of Mere Park, the Bow Street development, the back of Bow Street. That's on top of the Edge Lane development. It's on top of Speak with the Benmore Group and what's going on there. We're actually, you know, potentially creating not far short of about 8,000 jobs all told in that. And yes, we've lost 1,000 jobs in the public sector, but this is about leadership. It's about taking us through those difficult times, getting 2,500 off an 18,000 waiting list. It's invest to save, because those people then start paying council tax, which benefits us. And of course, they're spending in the shops, they're spending and they're staying here, more importantly. They're not going elsewhere to look for accommodation outside of the city boundaries. They're actually staying in Liverpool. So it's a well-calculated, well-thought-through policy, and I believe it will show pay dividends. And, you know, for those who say Liverpool City Council ain't thinking out the box or we ain't proactive, well, you know, think again. You know, it's the same people who are making criticisms of us, the Centre for Cities and other people, about our LEP proposals, when here we are, successful with the £27 million bid, you know, Regional Growth Fund. £270 million was the full total of the Regional Growth Fund allocation. We won 10% of it. You know, and for those who say we're not doing anything, well, hey, go away and think again. We're doing exactly what we need to do as a city, and in many ways we're leading the way.
And the point that Joe makes there, Max, in terms of the government's reaction to Liverpool's response, cabinet members such as Ed Vasey, Greg Clark, you know, they've said very good things about what Liverpool's doing at the moment. And there does need to be a rebalancing of our economy from the public to the private sector. We all recognise that. And the Global Entrepreneurship Congress that's coming next year, preceded by this conference that Downtown and Liverpool Vision are organising in a couple of weeks' time. those are the sort of forums where we are seeking the views of the private sector in a very genuine way to see how we can work in partnership, how the public and private sectors can come together and actually create an environment where investment happens, where it's delivered quickly, where we have less bureaucracy and red tape. Do you think there's been a shift? Do you think that the City Council and the other agencies who work alongside the City Council recognise the need for that sort of speed of foot? The fact that, you know, we are in a bit of a mess at the moment, but we have got opportunities for solutions, and we're determined to find them.
And I can only tell you that I went to see Joe in January of this year and said to him there's a chance for this city to bid for the Global Entrepreneurship Congress. We had to go out there very quickly. We were slightly late in the programme. Joe said, absolutely go for it. We went for
it. It's not like him, is it? He usually backs off and stuff like that.
We went. I'm not going to rise to the bait. We went for it. We're following now from Kansas, Dubai, Shanghai, bringing it to the city. We know. I mean, the three of us know in this room here on the Sunday morning that we need to create another 9,000 businesses in our city, small, medium enterprises. We're going to do that by a more entrepreneurial, enterprising spirit in the city. That's in our schools and in our businesses. So bringing this event to Liverpool is hugely prestigious. At your event, I hope to be unveiling the list of speakers. And, you know, lots of people tell you they've got A-list speakers. I think you'll be blown away by who we've got from this country and America coming to speak, and other countries indeed, about the question of enterprise and entrepreneurialism. I see almost more of Joe than I see of my wife, Frank, and she might think that's a good thing. I'm not sure, but the reason I do that is because investors, and that's where we've been. That's where we were a couple of days ago last week. That's where we will be next week. Investors are wanting to come and talk to us about how the private sector can partner with the city. If they didn't think they were getting that response from the City Council, if they didn't think that Vision was empowered to give them that kind of business service that I think business wants, because with business they expect instant response, they want to do things quickly, money matters, you know, we have to move these things on. And you know, I, the amount of interest in the city from the private sector is phenomenal. The amount of interest in the Global Entrepreneurship Congress from businesses who want to be part of that, and again at your event I hope to announce the ticketing details and alongside with the program. So it's a huge event for the city. It's about how we create the spirit in this city for enterprise and entrepreneurialism. It's about the fact that this city council, with Vision, through one of Joe's leading councillors, Gary Miller, has invited all the schools in the city to partner in a competition, which is about developing an entrepreneurial, enterprising idea. And the top 10 schools will be in front of somebody like Sir Terry Leahy, giving away some of the speakers already, or other great people. And the winners are going to Washington, to the Kauffman Foundation. That's about a city that's ambitious to have the private sector come and partner with it and deliver the change that's needed in the city to take it forward.
And I do think it's fantastic the way the schools are getting involved in these projects. We've got some kids coming along to the Liverpool, the business conference on the 14th of November at the Crown Plaza Hotel. We've got over 170 delegates booked on already, as I say. A number of schools will be in attendance as well. You two good gentlemen were among the speakers, alongside Howard Bernstein. We're even letting people from Manchester speak at the conference. The Shadow Treasury Secretary, Rachel Reeves. Steve Morgan, great Liverpool entrepreneur, chairman of Redrow and Wolverhampton Wanderers, of course. Toby Young, who's a political and business columnist for The Times, giving his honest and frank view, I'm sure, on what London's perception of Liverpool is these days. Lots of other people in and around that particular conference as well. Max?
I just wanted to say, Frank, that what I don't want this to be and what I don't think it will be is just a congress that comes and goes. I've talked to Joe, I've talked to you about the fact we want to create a legacy beyond this. And already we're looking at how we work with the schools beyond the congress, about how we continue the relationship with Kauffman beyond the Congress, and how if we can raise the resources through the Congress, we can keep the spirit of entrepreneurship, enterprise going in this city long beyond when the Congress has gone. And just to say, at the moment, our plans, and again, just to give an announcement on the radio, 28 fringe events in the city, not just in the arena and conference centre, but in and across this city, connecting our communities into the spirit of enterprise and entrepreneurship. That's about making sure this is not just an event for people in suits, but it's actually making sure we connect to the communities who want to understand how they can develop the enterprising and entrepreneurial ideas that exist in many communities. And what they need is that spark, that opportunity to take that forward idea. So it's going to be a major week next March when we bring this to Liverpool. I'm absolutely delighted it's coming here.
Cool. And if you want to get more information about either the conference or the Congress, then please contact Downtown Liverpool via our website. Stay with us for the final part of the programme. We'll be back right after this break.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
And welcome back to the final part of the programme on this Sunday morning. I'm joined by the Chief Executive of Liverpool Vision, Max Steinberg, and Liverpool City Council leader, Joe Anderson, who I understand has been described as being a bit of a bully by the Echo this week. Not the Liverpool Echo, but the Southampton Echo. And this is all relates to this turnaround facility controversy that's been going on for some time now, Joe. What's the latest news on that?
Well, we had some of our officials from the council go down to talk to the Transport Minister, Mike Penning, his shipping minister. We had people going down to talk to him about where we were at. They've gone out to consultation. The consultation finished in September, around about the 10th of September. And so we wanted to know where we were at, and we disappointingly found out that suggestions were made that although we'd agreed a price with government about what we would pay back in terms of the state aid argument and issue, that government seems to be suggesting that they're getting a lot of pressure from other ports, and in particular Southampton. And they were talking to us about whether, you know, there's an issue that they would like to see if they could get more money off us. And you know, I've written to the minister to say, look, that's not acceptable. We agreed in principle a price. We if you like, negotiated that price based on depreciation. I'm disappointed, therefore, that we were looking at, or they were looking at, seeing if we could get any more. And I was asking in the letter to him, you know, to whose benefit? It certainly wouldn't be to Liverpool's. It certainly wouldn't be to Southampton's. And I think the only people who would benefit if we paid more back would be central government. And at difficult times for us, I don't think that's a fair thing to do. But one of the things that I've also said is that, in my view, government, by agreeing a price with us, has agreed in principle that if we pay this money back, the state aid issue is resolved, and therefore then in my view it would simply be a question of not allowing us to trade, which is a restraint to trade again in my view. But I've sought some advice from that, and I think, you know, there's a possibility that we may well seek a judicial review if it doesn't go our way. And I've made that clear to government. I had a meeting just recently on Tuesday with Greg Clark, the city's minister, and asked him to relay that view. Now, if anyone wants to call me a bully for standing up for Liverpool, then that's fine. They can do that, because I'm proud to be called a bully if standing up for Liverpool means that that's the case. You know, quite simply, I think Southampton are being greedy. You know, we've already got a cruise liner facility here. It's down Langton Dock. It's next to a scrapyard. No one wants to use it. And yet we've got a facility that can be used here, that's right in the city centre on a beautiful waterfront, and we want to use it. And I don't think it's fair that Southampton, who have probably around about 85-87% of the cruise liner trade, should try to restrict us from having some trade here, when, you know, we've had cruise liners coming into this city for well over a century, you know, in terms of, and we want them to operate again. Because it's a huge boost for the local economy, again creates jobs and opportunities in the city, and I'm not going to let Southampton or other people stand in the way.
Is there a particular timetable as far as this project's concerned? Because again, I'm conscious of the fact that we've been talking about this probably for over a year now, and we've seemed to be tantalisingly close on a number of occasions to doing the deal. When is the end game? When does the City Council actually say, well, enough's enough, we do have to now go to legal course?
Well, I'd rather much resolve it if we can without going to court. And you know, I think from my point of view, government fully understand. I mean, you know, Heseltine talks about in his report, you know, in fact, he doesn't use the language of it being a perverse, you know, decision not to allow us to. But, you know, it comes close to that. He's very critical of the fact that you know, Liverpool isn't allowed. And what I'd rather see is the final decision from government before we make a decision. But, you know, behind the scenes, Frank, believe you me, I'm trying, you know, it's very much on my agenda to make happen, because it's so important for us. And I want to see it us growing that trade. You know, behind the scenes, I've been negotiating with cruise operators, with officers of the council, and you know, we've secured before we get the permanent terminal, which we're going to build with Peel, even using a temporary facility, we've got, you know, a lot of ships lined up, not to come in 2013, but to come next year. And I want them coming. And, you know, we've got a planning application ready to go in for the temporary facility, and it's holding us back. And if we don't go with that planning application shortly, it means that we might miss the deadline to get these cruisers coming in next year. So, you know, I'm really, really, you know, pushing the boat. And as I said, I've asked for a meeting with Mike Pennon again, who, in fairness, you know, has been supportive of the idea, and he's come up to see me here and had a look around the facility. So, you know, I share everyone's frustration, and but believe you me, I'm working extremely hard behind the scenes to try and make it happen, and I'm confident that eventually, you know, we'll get there.
And if there's frustration around the turnaround facility, then there's certainly frustration around the lack of movement as far as new football stadium mm-hmm. are concerned for both Liverpool and Everton. And we'll touch on what's happening on the field in a moment, because I know both yourself and Max are keen football followers. Well, you're a keen football follower because you're a Blue. Max actually just watches Liverpool. But just in terms of the issue around stadia, because, again, Joe, you referred to this before. You know, Anfield, it looks an absolute disgrace, doesn't it? Not the stadium, but in and around the ground. You know, the derelict properties, the fact that there's an awful lot of what I would describe as substandard environment there. Are we anywhere closer to getting something done for either Liverpool, Everton, or both?
Well, let me say to you, look, it's in a similar thing, similar way around the cruise liner facility. Don't think that, you know, there's nothing happening behind the scenes, because there is. There's lots and lots of stuff happening behind the scenes. But I think we have probably, as a council, the best relationship that we've ever had with both football clubs, both Liverpool and Everton. There's a respect for each other. There's a respect for each other's positions. And from my point of view, that can only mean that there's then an element of trust and responsibility that comes with that. And all I can say to you at this juncture is that, you know, we're progressing with both clubs. Both clubs want what the fans want. Both clubs want what the city wants. And both clubs want what's best for them. And I think we're on track to deliver for all three of us. I know it's difficult, because people are saying, well, look, you know, Anfield, as you rightly say, has been blighted for far too long. But we are, again, doing things around the housing issue, and we're working and trying to get government to release this chunk of funding for us to deliver on our phases 6 and 7. But there's real positive discussions going on between all three parties. I'm delighted with those discussions. Yes, I want it to have happened yesterday, not you know, in a few months' time. But nevertheless, I think people, I would hope, give us the opportunity, you know, through being a little bit more patient, to resolve this issue in everybody's interest. And I can promise you that, you know, dialogue is going on a very, very regular basis with both clubs, and we're keeping each other informed of developments. And the City Council is part of this partnership with them, you know, so we're trying to encourage movement and as quick as we can.
Well, people might wonder what football's got to do with economic development and business, but I can tell you that, you know, when our football clubs aren't in Europe, as is the case this season, when you operate part of the week, as I do these days, in Manchester, and you see the benefits that they derive from both absolutely. Of their clubs being involved in the Champions League, it does have a huge impact, doesn't it, in terms of economic development?
I mean, I've always argued that we don't get enough in terms of from the you know, the visitors that come to the city to watch the football teams here. And you're absolutely right. They are a huge part of the economic sort of, economic sort of prosperity of the city centre. You know, the amount of people that come and stay in hotels, go to the restaurants, shop and bars, I just don't think that we hold on to them long enough. So you know, you're absolutely right, and I think, you know, the bottom line is that we recognise that, you know, I don't think it's always been the case that it's been truly recognised, but we recognise that, I certainly do, and believe, as you do, that we can work together to achieve some solutions to that, you know, about making sure we maximise the opportunities that the visitors create, but also dealing with the issue of the blight, because visitors to the in particular Anfield Stadium, but also Goodison Park, see that dereliction, see that decay, and it gives the wrong impression and image. And so we've got to get on with tackling it. But more importantly than all of that, of course, is the people that live around that ground and live in that area. You know, they're putting up with this on a daily basis, and it's not fair and it's not right for them. So we've got to get on with solving it.
Mm. But, Frank, I mean, just to say also, you're absolutely right about midweek football from Europe. The effect on the hotels the last year or so has been marked by the loss of that football. The buzz in the city, if we could have both clubs in Europe, but the effect on the economy, particularly that midweek economy through the winter months, where, you know, business might be a bit slower, would be fantastic. So we've got to aim to get both clubs right up there again as part of the, you know, the forward-looking nature of this city.
And is King Kenny going to do it for you, Max? Let's get the ball out for a second. And are you confident that Liverpool are back on track now as far as the playing side of things are concerned?
Well, I've watched them for many, many years. I didn't enjoy watching them for the last 2 or 3 years. I now watch football that I think is much more forward-looking. It's much more attacking. We've got some players that actually, it looks to me, want to score goals.
Got a couple of great people who could go off and do, like, Hollywood movies for you as well. That Suarez would be great in a movie, wouldn't he? Earn you a few extra bob.
Anything that brings more money to the Liverpool Football Club, I'm happy to support. But I just say watching them now has become a pleasure again. And, you know, please God, buy Everton as well.
Well, Joe, I mean, you're a season ticket holder at Goodison as I am. It's not good at the moment, is it? The last few weeks have not been great for us.
No, stuntman Suarez is a real asset. And that stuntman training that he does going down when anyone comes near him. It is fantastic. But I'd rather not talk about Liverpool, actually.
I'd rather you didn't, as well.
I know, because it's negative. I mean, in terms of that money you've spent, yeah, well, wish we had that. Only half of that, we'd do far better. I think, you know, the fact is that we are in a difficult position. You know, we are shopping at Netto, and we are not, you know, we haven't got a lot to spend in terms of that, and I think, you know, we are frustrated. But one of the things that I would argue and you know, from my point of view, is that Everton fans have seen it all before. You know, we've had difficult times in the past financially. You know, okay, yeah, 40 years ago we were one of the richest clubs or whatever, and we're able to spend, but we're not now, and it's been like that for about 30 years. And you know, we recognise that, we go through difficult times. You know, I've been watching Everton in you know, November in the Zenith Days of Cup, you know, with 11,000 other stupid idiots, you know. But the bottom line is that we're loyal, we're supportive, and I think we're punching above our weight. But I think we've got a nucleus of a really good team. You know, I think Fellaini's one of the best midfield players in the Premiership. You know, he's absolutely fantastic. You know, if you look at Coleman and again, a young star, Barkley, and another fantastic asset, Rodwell, this young kid called Green we bought, again, someone for the future. And I think if we get the right investment, and we can build on that, and I think, you know, things will be okay for us. It's just a question of trying to ride through the tough times and make, you know, basically making sure that we keep finishing in the top half of the league for the next couple of years while we sort things out, and hopefully it'll be before then.
I mean, I think the partnership between the clubs was exemplified at the Derby when we, you know, our players collected the money you threw at us, and we gave it back to you to invest in the transfer fund. So,
as well give it back to us, given what you wasted on. To be fair, Carroll?
I was going to mention that about the waste. I mean, one of the things that Liverpool City Council is proud of is our waste. You know, how we tackle waste and inefficiency. And I know Ian is. He's a good friend of mine, and maybe I'll ask Ian to come down and talk to me about waste and inefficiency in terms of, and I know Kenny's also you know, somebody I see regularly, and I'll mention that to him as well, you know. Yeah.
Just Frank,
maybe we could send some of our council officers along to the transfer market, you know, how to get the most.
The January window could be interesting, couldn't it? If Max wants to carry on digging, I'm sure we could get him a free transfer to Huddersfield, or maybe Southampton. Yeah. He's desperate to get in.
Just before that, can I
very quickly,
we were just saying,
Joe,
on the way here this morning, that I don't think we've actually had the payment yet for the fuel conference on the 14th. So both of us are happy to take a check off you today before we leave.
I think that the invoice might be going the other way, but we'll have a conversation about that later on. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for.
That's all from Hindi.
Can I thank very much Joe Anderson and Max Steinberg for joining me this morning, taking time out of their busy schedules, and thank you for listening. Have a great week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna, City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.